This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. My name's Darren Cullum and I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with the Somerset FA. And my colleague, who we'll hear from shortly, is PGMOL assessor and Somerset FA County Training Officer Richard Mellon. In this episode, you can listen to a few bits which have been recorded over the last few months and we've pieced together for you because we've had them stored for a rainy day. Because occasionally we gather too much content. And that rainy day is this episode. So we're going to hear from a regular listener to the podcast called Fez, who's been in touch with us a couple of times. He's actually written a book. It's a good little book, actually, as well. We'll also take a look at the world's best referees and who they are in the FIFA rankings. And we'll dip into an old assessment of mine.
From grassroots to the World Cup.
This is the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Before we start, let's do a few mentions for those that have tweeted to tell us about their promotion. And if that includes you, congratulations and well done. Steve Taylor says, I'm still playing the waiting game. It's always a long wait when you're waiting to find out, isn't it? Richie Watkins has been promoted from 7 to 6, says he's going for his 5 this year. Good luck with that, Richie. Thanks for tweeting. Alan Robinson says, I did to level 5. Woo! Many thanks to my family for all their support and my coach and mentor, Chris and Dave, and everybody at the HFDRA. And that's a really nice message, actually, because it is important to have the support, particularly from your family, as we've discussed in quite some detail, actually, in previous episodes of the podcast. Dan Cohen, I'm now a senior county referee. Brilliant stuff. Good luck, mate. Absolutely delighted. Big smile. Got my 5 and been nominated for 4. So possibly a 6-4, a double jump. Well done, mate. I'd love to know how you get on with that. Neil Hunnisett says, I've done it. 7-6. Really happy. Going for 5 this season. And Neil's a regular listener in Cornwall. Chris at Can They Score. Hello, mate. He's been promoted 6-5. Well done. He's going to go for his 4 next season. He's also been appointed the Young Referee of the Year in Altie, which I'm presuming is Altrincham. So well done to you guys, and thanks very much for tweeting to let us know about your good news. And if you are a new listener, just a quick reminder that you can find us on iTunes, just search for Referees World, or you can listen online at the revamped site, refereesworld.co.uk, where you can also contact us as well. Right, let's start with an old assessment of mine and see if things have changed over the years.
Referees World.
I've grabbed an old assessment of mine. This is from 2001, I think it is. Now, I haven't read this in a long time. I've basically just given this to Richard and said, right, pick some bits out of there and let's see how we can sort of develop those points that you've picked and how they would differ these days compared to sort of however long ago that was. That was 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Well, let me just say, I've got magazines that go back a long, long way in some cases in refereeing, and it's a continual circle of development. It's not different items of development, but it's a circle of development. And a couple of items I've picked out of here, Dar, is exactly what we've been trying to do now with our new referees, what I've been trying to do with you as a bit of coaching. And so this is not, although it's a 10-year-old assessment, the item that is in here that we're going to highlight is now suitable now.
Yeah.
It's usable now. So consequently, we'll use this.
Okay.
Right. Under application of laws, the assessor has written, the actions of players making challenges were recognised most of the time and you dealt with misconduct well. Please reflect on the length of time you spent cautioning players. It did tend to delay the restart of play. Consider carefully the action necessary when players show dissent at your decisions and the overuse of abusive and insulting language on the field of play. Perhaps with hindsight, you think you were too tolerant.
Now, based on, I know the fact that that was 10 years ago, but the chap that wrote it was actually quite high up in the county FA that I was with, so I kind of remember that game for that reason. And I remember taking my time on the cautions because it was quite, there was a bit of history between the two teams and it was quite pacey. And it was one of those games that I really needed to slow down a bit and take the sting out of it before it got a bit too far. So that was something that we did talk about. However, he did obviously go ahead and write it in the assessment.
Okay, I've highlighted that part from the assessment, but what I want to jump to now is overall control and authority, and then we'll talk about the general remarks and constructive advice. Mm. A tight but fair grip was maintained for most of the match, but some dissent was allowed to go unchecked. Yeah. players should not be allowed to shout from distant parts of the field without some action being taken. Mm. Yeah, is that a fair comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is something that you and I have talked about, as was the previous bit you've just mentioned about taking your time of caution. This is something we've talked about ourselves in the last 12 months.
Yeah. There were no major issues overlooked and no decisions appeared to be shirked, but please reflect upon your approach to open dissent. Okay, I think that's really applicable to all of us as referees. There is no referee that has ever been totally dealing with the action of dissent by a player. All I want to say is, though, a player that shows dissent from a distance is a player that you need to take control of, or take control of the situation. It doesn't have to be a caution necessarily, but if it's abusive, then there's only one sanction to be applied there. But dissent, saying, oh, that's a joke, that's a... maybe you might want to pull him in and admonish him in front of the captain using the stepped approach. That's a suggestion. But think about the distance in which he made the comment from. What sort of position did he have, and was it a justified comment, which is very unlikely from a player of distance away? So consequently, a caution is probably recommended there. Let's go on to the general remarks and constructive advice. A number of factors have been highlighted in my earlier remarks, which upon reflection, I hope you will find beneficial. The assessor here is writing to you. He's asking you to make considerations here. It would certainly be worth streamlining your cautioning technique. Remember that players and spectators alike make judgments of you straight from the start, so first impressions are important. Mm. What good advice. Simple, basic, good advice. It's all about composure. Why do we take time when cautioning players? As you've highlighted, we need to take time because the game is quite intense at times, and you just need to take a few extra moments in which to sort of let the players calm down. It's not apparent, but you know what you're doing as regards game management and tempo. And we've mentioned these a few times on our podcasts. You've set yourself a standard on which to build. If you modify your role slightly in the areas I've identified, I am sure your efforts will be rewarded with even greater appreciation. You did, however, make a sound contribution to the success of this match. Keep up the good work and enjoy the rest of the season. Now that, I mean, we've only taken out a snippet from the assessment, but I can read that assessor was on the right wavelength. Mm. He had some development points for you, which are genuine, and they are genuine 10 years ago, and they're genuine now as regards development for referees. So cautioning technique needs to be a little bit more prompt. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, as you highlighted, we take our time to caution a player because we want to slow the game down a little bit more to take the sting out. Mm. Is that a fair reflection?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think we ought to look more at assessments in future episodes, because I think it's good to highlight some bad points as well, particularly where I'm concerned, because I think other people can learn from it. So that's something that we can look forward to doing in future podcasts here on Referees World. There's one thing I need for you to clarify. Based on my Boxing Day game, where I blew the final whistle after the final kick of the game, which happened to be a goal to the winning team. And when we spoke on the phone after the game, you were a little concerned by that.
Yeah, what I want to say is there's a couple of ways in which to end a game of football, especially half-time and full-time. And I'll use the simple one, first of all. Never blow for the final whistle at half-time or full-time when the ball has just been wellied out 40, 50 yards for a throw-in or a goal kick. Because having blown the whistle, what will the players do? And who has to go and get the ball?
Yeah.
Okay? So don't blow the whistle for the end of the first half of the end of the game when the ball has just been wellied out of the ground. Wait until the ball is in the field of play and close to where your position is. That way, you were given the ball at the beginning of the game and you will finish with the ball at the end of the game and give the ball back. Okay, so that's that simple one is. The other one that we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth, Dar, is you did the game on Boxing Day. Upon the second goal going in, and the result was 2-0, you said, that'll do, end of game. Psychological factor for players and spectators. I know it's the last kick of the match, but at least take a few seconds to restart the game and then finish the game. Now, arguably, someone could come up to you, how long have we played second half, ref? And in all honesty, you could say 45 minutes and 15 seconds. 45 minutes and 15 seconds, they scored in those 15 seconds. Mm. The game is only 45 minutes long. They will have an argument for the sake of an argument with you. So all I want to say is, you are the sole discretion of time. Make sure that you finish the game psychologically in a positive area. A positive area is having had a restart. And even if they only make two or three passes after the goal is scored, psychologically, you have been very evenly fair. Whereas, you know, someone could accuse you of waiting for them to score a second goal before you decided to blow the whistle. But you can say, but my watch tells me we played 45 minutes. How can it be so precise? Why are we so precise? Why do we put ourselves in the spotlight? You know, what happened when you came off?
The goal was scored, and literally as the goal was scored, my alarm went off on the watch, and I thought, okay, and it's the first time I've ever done this. I thought, okay, well, the alarm's gone. Is there any point in dragging them all back to the, you know, back into position again just for a quick kickoff where I'm going to blow the whistle after about 10 or 15 seconds, only for them all to moan and say, well, what was the point in that, ref? Because, you know, there's a chance that may have happened. So I thought, well, if I end it now, at least it's one of those times in the game which is like a break in play, I suppose.
We're going into another area here. Yeah. I heard that your alarm went off. Do you run around with an alarm on your watch then? I've never heard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've
at
never
the end
heard
of 45
beep.
Minutes.
Does it beep beep at you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, how often do you stop your watch?
How often?
Yeah. Is it the same watch that you stop that has got the beep beep on it? Or is it a different watch?
No, it's the same watch.
Think, don't give too many things away to the players, because if they hear a beep beep,
we
expect the whistle to be blown.
Right, okay.
Yeah? You're giving too much information to them. You know? The discretion to stop the game is under the referee's control and authorities. Yeah? Control and duties.
Right.
So, okay, let me say to you...
So what you're saying is switch off all alarms then?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Why do you want to tell everybody, oh, game up, you know? And let me say to you, this is the ultimate sanction. From 30 yards, a player whacks the ball towards goal. As he whacks the ball, your watch goes beep, beep, beep. It travels another 3 seconds and ends up in the goal. But your watch is now 45 minutes and 3 seconds. Technically, you'll get beaten up.
Mm.
You'll get beaten up. Little things. Don't give too much away.
The alarm's officially now off. This really is the last thing that we're going to talk about in this episode, because we've actually gone off on so many tangents today, but it's been great because hopefully you'll have picked up a lot of learning tips from what we've talked about. A couple of episodes ago, we set a question. Rich, can you remind us of the question?
The question was, there's a penalty kick being awarded, and the goalkeeper of the team who's been awarded the penalty kick comes up to take the penalty kick. He strikes the ball, and it hits the crossbar, and it comes out, and he heads the ball towards goal. It's intercepted by a fullback on the opposite side, who clears the ball upfield to his centre forward, who goes through and scores a goal. The referee has applied the advantage clause. What do you think?
Right, that was it. And somebody, we forgot to give the answer to that, didn't we?
We haven't given the answer there.
And the answer is?
Well, it's the referee's discretion to apply the advantage clause. Sean Morgan Smith, and I'll name him, and it's not a shame, Sean, because like I say, I think you were a very fortunate referee to be able to do this. I cannot imagine where else it might ever happen. I don't know anybody else that would have done this, but I've spoken to many, many people about this situation, and it's at the referee's discretion to apply the advantage clause, and safely it was applied, as I understand, and the players did not pose any questions or comments to the referee.
This was a game in Australia, wasn't it?
It wasn't a game Sean was refereeing in Australia, you know, fair play, Sean, well done, you took a risk. One or two other people did make comments about the, you know, how can he have made a quality decision like that? It's never been known, and all sorts of jokes were created. But it's at the referee's discretion to play advantage. How many referees would have at the taken of the penalty kick and the ball being played for the second time by the goalkeeper would have blown immediately for the infringement? I would have. I know I would have. Mm. You know, because, you know, stop the infringement, don't let anything else happen, and, you know, the game's safe. But no, Sean took the risk, and I'll say risk, but he got away with it. That's what advantage is. It is a risk sometimes.
Well done, Sean, mate, and thanks for letting us know about that particular incident.
Yeah, well done, Sean.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referee's World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. You can follow us on Twitter at Referee's World. Like our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/Referee's World podcast. And we have regular postings there as well. Always great to get your feedback and always great to get interactive with you online. And you can check out the rather sexy new looking, revamped, refreshed website, refereesworld.co.uk, where you can listen online or, of course, on iTunes. Just search for, guess what? Referee's World. Right then, we continue. Still to come, we'll take a look at some of the best referees according to the FIFA listings. Before that, let's talk to a regular listener. He's called Fez Barnard. He's with the Surrey FA. Fez decided it was only fair that he put his experiences as a new referee into a book, which he's done quite successfully. I spoke to him on Skype just before Christmas, and we started off by talking about how long he'd been refereeing.
This is the Referee's World podcast.
I've been refereeing for 6 years.
And what made you decide to become a referee?
Good question. Thrown at the deep end. One of the dads on the pitch, no one wanted a volunteer. And the manager at the time, Martin, he basically volunteered me. So I went off on the course.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
It's history, yes.
So what made you decide to put together and publish this diary?
There's so many people, while I'm in the middle of the park, asking questions. Why did you do that decision? How do I handle this particular situation? So I thought, well, I've answered lots of questions at the park. Why not put something together? Reading a number of books by Graham Pohl, it's easy to put things together. His way and his approach of writing books is brilliant. So that's what I took. I used his abilities to write the book, and I came up with some ideas. And basically, it's just the highlights and snapshots of the problems that I had during the last 6 years. And hopefully, some of them can be some benefit to a number of your listeners.
I think, I mean, what you've done in the book is you've obviously concentrated on youngsters football here. Youngsters football, for me, it's not something that I actually do regularly. In fact, I can honestly say I've never refereed, officiated on a kid's game. And the reason for that is those problems that we all hear about, they're called parents on the sidelines. And that's the reason why I decide not to do it. But you've talked about it in the diary, and I think it's quite important that young referees that take on this challenge know what they're going to be faced up against, don't you? And I think this is a really good way of doing it and documenting it in the way that you have done.
I agree, totally. I've also given suggestions of how I handle these situations, and maybe they can actually springboard from those situations and learn from my experiences.
Tell me about one of the worst experiences that you've had.
It wasn't a referee. I was an AR at a particular game. And it was one almighty mouthy dad, to be honest. He tracked me up and down as I was doing the line, sort of mentioning and uttering numbers under his breath. And eventually out came some expletives. But before the game, the young 14-year-old ref's first question as he met me on the park was, how do I eject a parent? I thought it was strange at the time. And after we discussed it for about 5 to 10 minutes and the game started, in the second half, we actually used what we discussed. It's not the nicest thing to happen, but you need to understand how to handle it. For me, I'm a little bit older than 14. And if the 14-year-old referee had to do it, he now knows how to do it.
And that's all documented in the diary as well, which is great. And there's other little tips as well, which I like the way you've peppered everything in from the very basic up to very complicated situations like what you've described.
Yes, that was the whole point. Bring the readers into the book because it's difficult from an early stage as you're starting to ref to have all the information thrown at you. You do forget a few things. If you just add, as Richard does in his talkovers on some of your games, the information seeps through and eventually you grab more and more information.
What's the feedback been like from people about the book?
It's very good feedback on it so far. A number of books I've been giving away to a couple of the referees that I've met in my local area. And a few books have been sold, so it's good.
Now, having read this myself, I would thoroughly recommend anybody, to particularly new referees, to get a copy of this book, because it really is getting it from the horse's mouth, as it were, because it's all very well reading books by the bigger, well-known referees that are probably now retired, but they concentrate on the big games. Now, it's the smaller games, the grassroots stuff, that you can really
get the tips from in a book like this? Now, where would you suggest we get the book from?
You can download it or purchase the book from a website called lulu.com. Just search for Diary of a New Referee. Or if you've got Google, again, just search for Diary of a New Referee and you'll point it to the right location.
And it costs £3.50?
It's £3.50 for the electronic copy, £3.99 for the hard softback, and £8.50 for the hardback.
Definitely worth adding to your collection, as I've said, if you're a new referee and wanting to pick up a few hints and tips about how you should deal with certain situations. Listen, Fez, good luck with the book. Thanks very much for sending us a couple of copies anyway, which we're going to give away on the show a bit later on, and hopefully somebody else can benefit and perhaps learn from the tips and advice that you would give. And one thing I was going to ask you before we said goodbye was, what tips would you give, what advice would you give to any new referee that decides to take up the whistle?
It's confidence, really. Make sure you know the laws of the game. Be totally confident. The most important part is the field is your domain. It's your opinion. Forget about everybody else. If you make a decision, doesn't matter if it's wrong, be consistent and have lots of confidence.
Fez, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. And thanks very much for listening to the podcasts.
Thank you, Darren.
This is Referees World.
Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk
or search iTunes for Referees World.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin. Just like to say as well, both Rich and I are affiliated with the Somerset FA, and recently we had a Have Your Say evening. Special guests, Janie Frampton, the referees manager, and Kevin Friend, Premiership referee. A brilliant evening. And I'd just like to mention Kevin particularly because he's an avid listener to the podcast, so I found out, which is great news. So it just goes to show referees at all standards, at all levels, from the Premiership right down to grassroots level, are listening to this, the Referees World podcast, which I'm delighted can now be heard on a regular basis in over 70 countries, that according to the latest Google stats. So thanks very much for listening. If you want to get in touch, by the way, please feel free. We'd love to hear from you. And maybe you have some match incidents, or maybe you've got something you'd like us to talk about. Like this email I had from Ben Williamson. He goes on to say, firstly, I congratulate you both on a fantastic podcast. Richard assessed me recently, Odd Down versus Hallett in the Western Premier League, and kind of explained about the podcast. Ever since then, I've been listening. Anyway, he goes on to say, the reason I've been in touch, he's recently been appointed as a director of Tournaments Abroad Limited. That's tournamentsabroad.com. They're a non-profit referee organisation that helps referees to experience the pleasure of refereeing top youth international tournaments. Currently, the exclusive company responsible for recruiting referees for the Lisboa Cup in Portugal and also the Great Wall Cup in Beijing. We also have many tournaments over the world that we assist in finding referees for. This is great. Ben, we have absolutely no problem in mentioning this and we hope to speak to you soon about it. But if you are interested in getting involved, check out the website tournamentsabroad.com. You never know, you could be slipping away to blow your whistle in a different climate. Ben, thanks very much for your email, by the way. I must say big hello to everybody at Rochdale Referees. Thanks for your tweets at Rochdale Refs. And a big thank you as well to everybody at Sussex County FA, who are big supporters of the podcast, and they always retweet our messages. So thanks very much, guys. And also to Wesley Allen, who's a first-time listener. Thanks for your messages. Right, let's move on. So who do you think were the top referees of 2011?
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.
Yeah, I got a list of the elite FIFA referees in order of what they is considered world's best referees for 2011. So,
Can I have a guess at this?
Yeah, you can have a guess. No, I haven't seen this list. Of course you can. No, you haven't, no.
Now, straight away, I instantly think of Howard Webb having to be there somewhere. So I would put him somewhere in the top three, one, two, or three.
Howard Webb is number two.
Okay.
Howard Webb is number two, based upon this list that I was given. And when you consider what Howard's achieved in the last few years, fantastic. Mm. Absolutely fantastic. But, you know, there is someone above him in the list, according to what I'm reading, and that's Viktor Kassai from Hungary. He's regarded as the best referee in 2011. Howard Webb was at number two. Number three was a referee from Uzbekistan. Wouldn't have expected that. Yeah. I would have expected one of the other European referees or probably a top South American referee to be.
What's interesting about that is Uzbekistan is probably not recognised as being a big footballing nation with some big games of football. So how would a referee who regularly officiates in a country like that get the experience to referee on a big, big standard of football like the Premiership?
I don't know where he would be refereeing, but to say that they don't have the same standard of football, probably a fair comment, I think, but I bet the passion is just as equally the same, you know, and they are passionate about their football, and it is a global thing. This passion about football is global nonetheless. It's an Uzbekistani referee, Ravshan Imratov. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Number four is Wolfgang Start of Germany. Frank de Blerk of Belgium is fifth. Massimo Busacca of Sweden is sixth. Number seven is Carlos Carbello of Spain. Nicolo Rizzola of Italy is number eight. George Larrianda of Uruguay is number nine. And top 10 referee, last one I'm going to announce, is Silvio Filho of Brazil.
So only one Englishman.
One Englishman in the top 10. Martin Atkinson, our other representative from England, is listed at number 17.
Interesting.
17 out of 22 elite referees on the FIFA list.
So that was the top 10 referees of last year, 2011.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk the best referee or best referees of the last 20, 25 years.
Okay, world's best referees since 1987 until 2011.
It's got to be Colina.
Ah, there you
are. It's
got to
be Colina.
I bet everybody's got that. Got
to be Colina.
Pierluigi Colina. And arguably, I think that's the right decision.
Absolutely.
But in saying that, I think I could put others up there that equally are as good as Pierluigi. And, you know, full respect for him, fantastic referee.
Give me some names of other people who you would put along that same level.
Marcus Merck, German referee. Kim Milton Nielsen, famously known as the referee that sent off David Beckham. You know, that's the top three. Peter Mikkelsen from Denmark. Now, Denmark have got two referees listed here at third and fourth. Not a big footballing nation when you consider the level of football or the standard of football that it might be. Not quite on the Premiership, not quite Real Madrid versus Barcelona. Then number five was Oscar Acosta. That's a bit of a mouthful. Oscar is from Colombia.
Brilliant.
And he was listed.
We've actually
at
got
five.
Listeners to the podcast in Colombia.
Yes, I've got some lads that have matched up on Facebook with me, and we exchange a few comments on there. So those guys out in Colombia, thanks for listening. Oscar Acosta was listed at number five. Number six, a well-known referee in my view, Sandor Pool, Hungarian referee. George Larrianda, I think I've heard recently that George has decided to retire, but George is listed at number seven, and George is from Uruguay. So another South American referee that does well. Another referee from a few years back now, Urs Meyer. Swiss referee, well known.
Yeah.
A favourite referee of mine, a little bit of a showman, but I enjoyed watching his refereeing, and that was Anders Frisk.
Anders Frisk.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was a bit of a showman, wasn't he?
But I like that style of refereeing. Arguably, some people will frown upon it and not like it, but he solved decisions, and really, when you're in the communications...
He was involved in some high-profile incidences, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, and I cannot remember the incident, but he, after refereeing a major competition, Anders' family were threatened seriously by some unscrupulous people, and Anders packed in refereeing, just dropped it like that, which is sad, because, I mean, he was a good referee at the time, and finished before his time. Anders Frisk was at number nine from Sweden. Number 10, Frank de Blerk. Now, we just mentioned Frank de Blerk in the current referees as at number five for 2011. So some good referees in there. I'm just looking around just for those best referees over the last 25 years. Roberto Rossetti. Remember Roberto Rossetti just recently finished. He's listed at number 16. Massimo Busacca, who's still currently refereeing, listed at number 12. Going further down the list, Howard Webb is currently listed at number 19. And Scottish colleague, Hugh Dallas, actually involved in a lot of referee training with FIFA.
He was involved in some high-profile instances. Was the coin-throwing incident was something to do with Hugh Dallas, wasn't it?
Can't remember enough about it, really, to sort of
Didn't he split his head open? Somebody threw a coin on the pitch or something and he split his head open?
Was that Hugh Dallas? Anyhow, let me just finish off here. A couple of referees from the past here. Michel Vautreau, French referee. Remember Michel Vautreau? Finished in the early noughties. And then there's another one here, Manuel Gonzalez from Spain. I do remember him as well. So, lots of good referees in there. And there are probably more referees that could be in that group. But that's all I have as a list.
Indeed, if there's any referees that we haven't mentioned in that list that you would consider to be one of the best for whatever reason, then let us know your comments. You can email us through the website, refereesworld.co.uk, or on Twitter. Just follow us at Referees World, or like us on Facebook, just search for Referees World Podcast.
The download is complete.